Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Tonight we're previewing this weekend's IU football game against Georgia Southern. IU and Georgia Southern kick off at 3:30. Game will be telecast on BTN. It will also be on XM satellite radio and on your regular IU radio network. So tune into that. Georgia Southern's coming in 0-2 off of losses to Auburn and University of New Hampshire. Indiana's 1-1. Last week, as we all know, the game against FIU was canceled. Their last game was a win at Virginia. I'm Sammy Jacobs, your host. Co-host TJ Inman will be along with us shortly. We'll break down the game and tell you what you need to know. This is a game where IU is three touchdown favorites. Once again, it's a game where there are certain things we want to see as outside observers. I'm sure the coaches want to see some things as well before IU gets into the meat of their schedule. After this starts this 10-week trek to the end of the season, and IU needs 5 more wins for bowl eligibility, and hopefully this will be one of them. TJ, welcome to the show. You'll be in the stands as well as with us in the live tailgate show. What are you looking for this week against the triple option Georgia Southern Eagles?
Yeah, this was it's still a little bit of a scary game, but I will certainly admit the only reason this is, a scary game is just because we as fans, I know that the players don't have this, going against them, but we the fans, we are scarred by what occurred against Navy during the Kevin Wilson era. We are scarred by that, at least I am, and just the thought of an IU defense going against an option attack is enough to make me pause whether or not I should be nervous about this one. This is an entirely different defense that Indiana's going up against. It's an entirely different type of option attack. And Georgia Southern is just, to be plain, this year's Georgia Southern team is not in the class of the Navy team that came into Bloomington.
Yeah, and it goes even back further than that. My freshman year, the first home game I went to was against Nicholls State, and they ran that triple option. It came down to, I believe the game was like a 35-31 game that came down to the last second for IU. TJ, IU's also going to be honoring the Insight Bowl team from 2007 and Coach Hep with the jerseys, the alternate jerseys, as well as Hep's Rocks jerseys. So we'll get into that. Evan McShane, one of our writers, will have more on that later in the week as well. And just to what Coach Hep meant for this program. But let's get back to this game. A lot of things need to be ironed out. IU, their bye week turned into last week, is kind of a blessing in disguise in order to get ready for the triple option. So they should be ready for that. But the hard part is now you have to play 10 straight weeks, and all but one of those games is a Big Ten game. So we'll see. We'll see. What do you want to see that IU hasn't really done in the first two games that they played that they need to do to make you feel comfortable that they're going to get to that 6-win mark the rest of the way?
I think the first thing you want to see is dominant offensive line play. Georgia Southern they do not have a terrible defensive line, but this is it's a defensive line that Indiana should be able to more or less push around. So I want to see a dominant offensive line performance that really showcases Indiana's running backs. You know, I'd like to see a couple of them kind of step forward and seize that role. The two that jump out to me, honestly, are going to be Ellison and Cole Guest. I would like to see the two of them get the bulk of the carries on Saturday. I don't know if that's how it's going to break down. You know, 2 weeks of practice could change a lot for the coaches. We really don't know. But those are the two that I think have looked the best so far. So I want to see dominant offensive line play, and a big catalyst for that is going to be the return of Brandon Knight, at least we hope. So I want to see Brandon Knight back and looking good, and kind of see how he shuffles into that lineup. Is he going to start next to, at that right tackle position? We're not sure. Is he going to get a lot of snaps at that right tackle position? Yeah, I think that's definitely the plan. At that point, what does Delray Baker do? Right now, it's listed on the depth chart as, you know, Baker or Knight. And Baker is not listed elsewhere, like at guard or anything. But that does not necessarily mean that he won't, you know, move inside and see time at kind of a swing spot there at right guard. So I'm just really interested to see how that offensive line lines up, how they perform, who gets snaps and who doesn't, and then kind of what that could mean moving forward into the Big Ten, you know, bulk of the Big Ten season. And I do think that there's I think that that's probably the biggest concern surrounding the offense is how pedestrian the running game has been with the exception of Peyton Ramsey. So I want to see them just control the line of scrimmage with that offensive line and really gain some confidence going into halftime. For me, that's the first primary focus of Saturday.
Yeah, and the offensive line has had their issues. That's something that we need to watch as well, that I want to see. This team, Georgia Southern's not good. They're an FBS team who just lost to FCS New Hampshire. They were down 22-0. They ended up, that game was 22-12 as the final. It's a team that IU should be able to push around. The other thing I want to see is how they're going to use these quarterbacks. And this is a game where, you know, we have another quarterback, Nick Tronte, who going into next year is going to be in a battle with Peyton Ramsey for the starting spot. Do they use his red shirt? Do they take it off of him or not? That's something that we need to take a look at as well. I don't think they will use him, but if they are going to use him, this is the game to get all three of your quarterbacks in there and then just see how they use them. Are they going to, you know, if Lego struggles early, do they put Ramsey in? And then if Ramsey starts to separate IU with the game, do they put Lego in just to get him back into rhythm going to Penn State next week? So to me, it's how they use the quarterbacks that's a big question. And then obviously on defense, can they get a pass rush when Georgia Southern passes? And are they going to be disciplined enough, to fight through the blocks, go after their reads? And if IU's defense plays well, Georgia Southern has scored one offensive touchdown all year. This could be a great opportunity to finally have that shutout that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, Georgia Southern, for those that don't know, we'll give you a real quick, because honestly, you know, we texted a little bit before the podcast. This game is more about Indiana than it is Georgia Southern. I mean, if Indiana shows up to play, this will not be competitive come the third quarter. So it's more about the Hoosiers than it is the Eagles. But, you know, it is important to focus on what, when they are rolling, is a pretty interesting team to watch. They run a very unique shotgun-based option attack, which is, you know, it is different than what you usually associate with the option. And it's pretty fun to watch when they're rolling. Now, unless you're playing against it, that has not been the case for Georgia Southern so far under Tyson Summers. It's his second season as their head coach, and already he's in pretty hot water with their fans, who have a very high standard for what they expect, and they've got a good tradition as a program. They were an FCS power before moving up, and they've, you know, they've put some scare into some really good programs and beaten some good programs. So he's in some hot water, and he's, you know, he's a couple of embarrassing losses away from losing his job, and it might only take one real beat down for them to say enough is enough. But you know, they've got that interesting shotgun option attack that, like you said, if Indiana's disciplined and tackling really well, you could see a shutout kind of on the works. For me, that'd be really cool to see. You know, I'm much more interested in kind of the overall team performance, just how focused they are, plus kind of the individual performances of guys that, you know, Indiana's going to need to step up, depth pieces that you're hoping get a chance to play on Saturday and get some snaps under their belt, so that maybe later on in the Big Ten season, when Indiana's going to really need their depth to step up, they'll be able to avoid wilting as they did against Ohio State and start to close out some of these close games.
Yeah, and, you know, as nice as a shutout would be, just play well defensively, get some takeaways and things like that. And more on Georgia Southern, Tyson Summers, I think he's coaching for his job. They've won six national titles at the SCS level. They're the last team from the state of Georgia to beat the University of Florida. Back in 2013, they did that. It's kind of a cool little factoid. But yeah, they had that tradition in that triple option. Tyson Summers came in, changed it, tried to pass a little bit more out of that gun option. It didn't work. And you don't mess with a good thing. They had won nine games both of the previous 2 years when he was before Summers. He won five games last year. Just lost to FCS New Hampshire, and that offense does not look good. So I believe his seat is on fire, and we'll see if they come out with that desperation, or is this a team that's going to fold up camp and pack it in and just let IU run away with it? It could be both. They're coming off an open week, so you could see some funky things out of that option, especially for a team that's going to be pretty desperate. I don't know what funky things they're going to do, but anytime you come out of an open week, there's going to be something a little weird about that offense. But anyway, yeah, it's just about IU coming out to play well in all three phases of the game, get Richard Lego back on track, throwing the ball, get him back in rhythm with his receivers, get this offensive line up to par where they need to be in terms of protection. Georgia Southern is very good at creating havoc in the backfield. We put out in our Know Your Opponent, they're in the top half of the nation in tackles for a loss. They average 7.5 tackles for a loss per game, and they've got some guys who can get to the quarterback and who can make stops in the backfield. So that's going to be huge. And IU cannot let this team hang around like they did with Virginia. And then just the special teams, just follow up the performance you had against Virginia. Hopefully Hayden Whitehead doesn't have to punt, but if he does punt, will hopefully it's the same. So that's my takeaways. It's going to be a short preview show just because this game is going to be all things aside, the game should IU should blow this team out of the water. TJ, what is your prediction for the game?
Well, I did want to bring up, you mentioned the quarterbacks and Lego, and I do think a good performance is important for him. But I also think it's important for Peyton Ramsey to put together, a back-to-back good performances, kind of validate what he did at Virginia. And I'm not expecting him to be perfect by any means, but I think it's important for him to come out and show that, and we know that what happened against Virginia was no fluke. He's a good player. And I think his future is very bright, but it'd be great to see him come out and just have a similar type performance and sort of validate what we saw. Same with special teams, as you mentioned, kind of put back-to-back good performances together. And it turns into something that we saw with the defense last year. Once you start to put together back-to-back good performances,
and then
it turns in from a, oh, hey, that was nice, to an expectation. Once you can put together that trend, that becomes the expectation. That becomes the standard that you're held against. And I think anytime you can raise your standards, that's only a good thing.
Yeah, and, exactly. It's the same thing with the defense last year. At first you might have thought, oh, it's only FIU. Then it's only Ball State. And then they started to do it more and more, and you're right, it becomes a habit, it becomes an expectation, and hopefully that's in the minds of all these guys on special teams. Now, you can't expect Jayshon Harris to have 109 yards in punt returns every week, but to play soundly should be the expectation. They're going to end up kicking away
yes.
from him, and he might not, ever get a chance to return it. Griffin Oaks might not kick two long field goals this week. He might, just kick extra points. But having him kick the ball into the end zone for touchbacks, connect on his extra points, and make field goals when he's called upon to do that is going to be huge. And then Hayden Whitehead. Hopefully all fans would be very, very happy if they never saw Hayden Whitehead touch the field again. And that's not a diss to his ability. It's just that it's not good when you're punting. Well, sometimes it's good when you're punting, but you'd rather see them score points. But if he's going to be on the field,
sure,
he could be a game changer. And we saw that against Virginia and going down. I mean, it's unbelievable how good he is for his second college football game ever, second American football game ever. So, yeah, it's just setting the bar high and beating those expectations. And then just a reminder, Greg Gooch is out for the first half of this game.
Mm-hmm.
He had that targeting late in the Virginia game. IU could not appeal. There are certain rules on plays that you could appeal if it was called on the field or something. There's all types of bylaws to go against. So he won't be there. So who does IU turn to? Is it going to be one of these young guys that IU turns to at defensive end to get to the quarterback? So they'll get a good shot against Georgia Southern's starting team to get in there and provide reason why they should play a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's going to be really hot on Saturday, which I think is just going to increase the rotation we see. It's going to be a real shuttle service, in and out along the lines, I think. And I think you might see a lot of rotation at linebacker again, since you're playing a run-heavy team. You might see a lot of rotation at linebacker to keep Tigre Scales and Chris Covington fresh. So you'll see a lot of, a lot of guys that you might not normally see a ton of snaps from, which, for fans like us that are real crazy about this, that's cool. It's cool to see those guys get out there, and they've earned it with their practice time and give them a chance to perform and show that they deserve more. So that's a cool thing to look for. And I do just want to say that, I know Georgia Southern is not good. I'm not going to try to paint it as such. But I would say I would expect them to perform better than they have in the previous 2 weeks. I think this is going to be a kitchen sink game for them. You mentioned, you know, they also had a week off, so they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. They're desperate at 0-2. You would have to think that if there's anything in that bag of tricks at all, it's going to get pulled out on Saturday. So that's just an extra something to watch for. You asked predictions. I want to do a couple of things that I think, hopefully people find it a little bit more interesting. I think it'd be kind of cool to give our score and then kind of, since we expect, you know, a lot of rotation on Saturday, especially in the second half, and a lot of different guys to get chances, kind of each of us pick, you know, who we think will be a surprise, maybe under-the-radar standout guy on Saturday for offense and defense. So I'm going to go score line. I will predict Indiana 38, Georgia Southern 7. I do think something to watch for early is if Georgia Southern can get into third and short and convert those third and shorts, they can chew up a lot of clock, and that's what they'll choose to do. It's important for Indiana to get them off the field on third downs, get them into third and medium or third and long situations, which is what Georgia Southern absolutely has to stay out of if they're to stay on the field. And then when you do get those situations, get after the quarterback, get into the backfield, disrupt the play. So if Georgia Southern can, you know, shorten this game by quite a bit, it'll be important for Indiana to not get frustrated and try to score on, you know, every offensive play. Just stay disciplined, stay with the game plan, and just let the game come to you, because if you do that, there's no doubt who the better team will be. So I'll go 38-7, Indiana. I don't think it will be the most aesthetically pleasing game, but looking forward to it all the same. And it's after not seeing the Hoosiers here for 2 weeks, I'm ready to kick them back out onto the field. It's barely felt like IU football season because of, you know, playing Thursday night opener, and you know, we've only had one Saturday with them out there on the field, which has been really weird. So I'm anxious for that to get back to being a regular thing. Under the radar offensive guy, I'm going to go I really feel like Cole Guest is going to have a nice day. So I'm going to say Cole Guest. I'm going to throw in, I'll cheat a little bit, and I'm going to throw in Taysier Mack. I think Taysier Mack will have the best game of his young career at wide receiver. I think he'll get quite a few snaps, and hopefully you will have a nice lead, and Simi Cobbs can rest up on the bench and stay healthy. So I'll go Taysier Mack to have a nice day. And on defense, I think Mike McGinnis had a chance to have a pretty nice day himself. Linebackers tend to have good days against the option if, you know, the defensive line is getting pretty good penetration, busting up plays, the linebackers can clean up in terms of tackles. I think McGinnis might have himself a nice day after being a pretty quiet factor so far this season.
Yeah, and you could see a lot of reserves. TJ, score-wise, I am going to go Indiana 45, Georgia Southern 6. I think IU is going to run away with this. Breakout performers or under-the-radar performers on offense, I think it's going to be Morgan Ellison. He hasn't, although it kind of bucks the whole under-the-radar performance, I think he's going to have a breakout game. In terms of running the ball, you know, they'll start Majette, and they've had a quick leash with him. You saw Morgan Ellison come in early against Virginia as well. So I think Morgan Ellison breaks out, takes over that starting role after this week to really cement his name in there. And then on defense, I think Zeke Walker is going to have a big game. You know, he's a guy who's the backup Husky. He's a little bigger than Marcelino. And Marcelino, you can't go under the radar with the freshman All-American. But I'm going to go Zeke Walker there. I think he's going to play a lot, especially in this run-heavy offense that Georgia Southern runs, and he's going to put up quite a few tackles. So that's my take, TJ. Anything else to add?
No. I'm looking for, as you mentioned, I'll be in Bulletin for that game. We'll be doing the pregame show live at 12:30. That's going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to doing that. I think that there is something to be said for Indiana having this game to get themselves into a physical and a mental state that they can be ready to go to Happy Valley. And that's going to be obviously a huge test. But it's sandwiched in between two games that you definitely should win comfortably with Georgia Southern and the Charleston Southern. So I think Indiana's focus right now needs to be on just improving themselves as a team, executing, like I said, raising the standards on what's acceptable. You could sleepwalk through this game and probably win it comfortably, win it by a few touchdowns, even playing pretty terribly, to be honest. But raising that standard, which I'm sure the coaching staff has talked about a lot, that means going out there and executing as well as you possibly can with maximum effort. And just instead of the starters sleepwalking through it, it's the starters, playing as well as they can, as hard as they can, getting out of the game and rotated out pretty early, and then having the backups and the third-teamers and, the rest of the squad get in there and do the same thing. And you raise that standard of what is expected from an IU football team against a lower level competition, which is go out there and leave absolutely no doubt.
Yeah, that's what they have to do. And fans are getting a little bit nervous now as Purdue went to Missouri,
yeah.
God-awful. They went out there to Mizzou and dominated that game. We'll see what they're made of with Michigan, although Michigan's offense looks dead in the water, especially now with Tariq Black out for a while with an injury. So IU has to prove to their fans, hey, we're improving too.
Yep.
The next step for IU football is to start blowing teams out that they should blow out. They beat Virginia pretty handily. That game, outside of that 3-0 lead for Virginia, and the first 20 some odd minutes of that game, IU controlled it most of the way back. And outside of a bad targeting call, that game that game was going to be 34-10 at that time. And then I don't think Virginia scores the rest of the way. And that score looks a lot better than 34-17. So this is a game where Indiana needs to put the pedal to the metal, score on all their opportunities, and really, have some aesthetics on the scoreboard, make it a nice score. If you could put up 40-some-odd points, hold them to under double digits, that's a nice feather in the cap for Tom Allen and this program to keep up with the rest of these Big Ten programs who are improving and who have scored a couple bigger skins than Virginia this year. So that to me is the biggest thing. All right. The game is at 3:30 on Saturday. TJ, you're right. It hasn't felt like IU football season yet with the wonky schedule, but we're back. It's going to be 10 straight weeks of IU football, then hopefully a bowl game after that. So catch our live tailgate show. 12:30. It's going to be on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'll put out the link on Twitter again tonight. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com early and often. We have all your pregame needs. We're putting out Keys to Victory. We did Matchup Watch today. You know the stuff. TJ, you'll have your game day primer out on Friday as well, early, telling fans what to look for and things like that. So enjoy Saturday football, and we'll talk again next Wednesday.
Absolutely, yes. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and make sure to tune in Saturday for what I think will be a fun pregame show live from a sweltering Bloomington tailgate lot.
Yes, hopefully I don't melt taking photos on the field.
I feel you. It's going to be, we'll see. Hopefully not too sparse of a crowd.
Yep. Well, that does it for our pregame show, or our preview show for this week's game. Remember, tune in on YouTube, and I'll put it up on the site to our tailgate show for more insight on this game. And then, of course, we'll have a post-game show video as well. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. Catch the second half of Tom Allen's Inside Indiana Football that's on the radio right now. And we'll be back talking Indiana football next week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.